Richie Neal is the chair of the Powerful Ways and Means Committee, the congressman from my district, the 1st Massachusetts district. He's been in office since 1989. Hey, Richie, 1989 sounds like, you know, yesterday to me, but other people think that's a long time.
Well, I can tell you, I think that my game has only been enhanced.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about immigration. Trump decided long ago that the others could be vilified, and that's the way that he could play to his base and play to the American people and get reelected. What do you think? Is it working?
I think that Ronald Reagan summed it up correctly when he said that American values would always embrace the idea of immigration, and that if we came to the point where we would close our doors to the immigrant, then we would be making a tragic mistake that was inconsistent with American history. And I call attention to that because I think that the president's rhetoric has been one of embracing outrage when he should be working with the Congress to embrace a reform plan for immigration that would work. It's very clear when you look right now at labor participation rates in America that we need a steady path of immigrants. Fertility rates are low by historic standards. The average family now in America is about 1.7, having 1.7 children, and that doesn't make it for a growing population. So without the immigrant, including in Massachusetts here, when you can see that as people have migrated to Florida and to the South, largely on the retirement basis, you can see that it has been immigration that has offered us a surplus of workers. Mm-hmm. So I think that when I often hear the argument about immigration, I always want to bring people back to reality. We need them. The workforce needs them. And I think that we can bicker back and forth about skills and on skills, but we need a plan that allows them to become citizens eventually. Now, there could be parts of that plan that will allow for day workers on the Mexican border who might come across to work and return every day. That can be part of it. But I think that the president has clearly come down on one position, and that is enforcement. And I think that he uses incendiary language to incite people when the truth is that he should be working with members of Congress to develop a plan.
Richie Neal, I want to go somewhere else. This, of course, is the big story. Your name is in the paper virtually every day as a result of this. You have asked the President of the United States, who has steadfastly refused to let us see his tax returns, which every other president has. So could you sort of bring us up to the inner machinations of what's going on?
I can, and I'm going to have to be very general in my comments based upon House counsel's advice.
Sure.
But there is a 1924 law that allows the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, the Joint Tax Committee, which is a separate entity that I currently chair, and that Senator Grassley is the vice chairman of at the moment, and that those positions will revert next January 1st. But it also allows the chairman of the Finance Committee in the United States Senate, which is our counterpart, to ask for any president's returns. Now, factually, the last eight presidents have divulged their tax forms. And I have not suggested any nefarious interest here. I have not suggested for one moment that we are prying beyond our immediate responsibility. We have, again, based upon the sophisticated advice of House counsel, requested the last 6 years of the president's tax forms. And the reason for that is using 6 years because the IRS requires that citizens keep 6 years of their return. So they suggest that they should keep 6 years of their returns. So any suggestion that this is motivated by an unsleeping malevolence is simply inaccurate. This is based upon public policy. And in the case of Richard Nixon, the Joint Tax Committee, they actually reviewed President Nixon's documents. And again, every president since has released their documents. And I don't understand why there would be this resistance. And what I think is peculiar about this is that sometimes we can debate the intent of law. Sometimes we can debate the meaning of law. But in this instance here, 6103 is very clear. Upon request, the president shall, emphasis on the word shall, relinquish those returns to the appropriate committee.
Now,
in
Richie,
this instance, the Ways and Means Committee.
Now, Richie, why do we want them? In other words,
well, I think what we're interested here is in the policy question of how the IRS audits a president's returns. So there's a public policy position here, and again, not one that is based upon political malice.
Do we know why he keeps saying he's being audited? He keeps from day one, I can't release him, I'm being audited. Do we know if that's true?
Well, he's had variations on that theme. If you recall, during the campaign 3 years ago, he indicated that it was his intent to release the documents, and then he said he couldn't release them because he was under audit. As recently as 10 days ago, the IRS commissioner, he indicated that that should not prevent the release of those documents and wouldn't, and that those documents, in fact, could be relinquished to the Ways and Means Committee jurisdiction. And the president has now said once again that he is being audited, and that's the reason that he can't do it. But my intent here has always been understanding that this would be a court challenge. I knew from the initial request, and we have attempted, again, methodically, carefully, judiciously, to build a legal case for securing the documents. And I intend not to be deterred based upon the emotion of the events, but rather, I think, on the sound public policy request that we have made.
I want to go to another place, if I may, and that's Senator Warren, who we spoke of earlier, of her insistence about making sure that student loans are forgiven. I'm all for that. I have relatives who will never be free of this. And I'm wondering whether or not this has any chance of happening.
I do think that there's a chance of some of this happening. I do think that making adjustments to interest rates might go a ways toward alleviating some of the burden that people feel. I mean, today in America, there is now $1 trillion outstanding of student debt. I think that it means that your children upon graduation are moving back into cellars and attics with their mother and father. And instead of spreading their wings and embracing entrepreneurship in some far corner of America, and I think that it has caused some dramatic changes. And I also would point out that I think an examination of the idea that every year that colleges simply raise tuition rates because they think that there won't be any pushback on it has to be examined as well. I spent a decade, which was a very nice honor for me, being on the board of trustees of Mount Holyoke College. And every spring, we took satisfaction in those years when we could actually stabilize tuition proposals for increases. And a number of those years, we were able to hold them in line with inflation or under.
But that's not happening now. A kid goes to college now, $60,000,
$70,000. Well, that's it. I mean, I think Trinity and Hartford, they're up to $72,000 a year. Now, many of these colleges and universities will make the argument there aren't a lot of children, or a lot of students, I should say, that pay the full cost. But that doesn't seem to me to stand up when you look at the idea that I bought my first home in Springfield for $30,000 more than 40 years ago, and I was paying that in tuition for one of my children when they went to college each year.
Yeah, I paid 18 for mine in Massachusetts, and we had to find money for two kids at the same time for 2 years at $25,000 a year. One wonders how anybody can afford this.
Well, I would hope that also people would have the opportunity here now to examine the role that community colleges play. And
sure.
I do like the idea of free tuition, experimenting at community colleges. I've noticed that Rhode Island, which embraced the concept, they're having a little bit now more of a challenge on it. But I do think it's a worthwhile undertaking. And I think alleviating some of these costs for students, not just based upon the idea that there's going to be some benefactor who's going to give money, but instead a more rational policy based upon federal government policy and state government policies as it relates to tuition.
Richie Neal is a congressman from the 1st District of Massachusetts. He's the chair of the Powerful Ways and Means Committee. And Richard, I know that you're not supposed to say this, but I'm real proud of you, and thanks for everything you're doing.
Thanks, Alan, very, very much.